Okay, Janet Wilcox, thank you for joining us. What are your views on a possible Bears Ears Monument designation?
Well, I've been very actively opposing a monument designation for Bears Ears. Our county is already 92% public lands, so we don't see that this designation is going to add anything positive to the existing federal control that's already here, which just needs to be ramped up and more effective than what's already established.
Okay. How many people would you say agree with you?
In our county?
Yeah.
I would say probably 85, 90%.
Okay. And what have you been doing to work against a monument designation?
Well, this has been truly a grassroots effort. We've organized and functioned mainly through Facebook. I hate to say that, but had it not been for the Internet, it probably would have been a done deal. So we've just rallied people who were interested. I think the deciding issue that was made manifest is when we attended the public hearing for local input that when Sally Jewell came in July and witnessed firsthand busloads of people from out of state being bussed in by the pro-monument forces, which I think really rallied local people within the county to fight such a designation, which would take away some of the multiple use issue land in that proposed land. And I just did not set well at all with what we thought was going to happen at that public hearing.
Okay.
So that was kind of, I think that was the clincher.
That
really
that
woke people up.
Yeah, that hearing happened back in, when was that? That was July, right?
Yeah, I think it was the latter part of July. I don't have the date right in front of me. Though I do give Sally Jewell credit. She did meet with local Native people in their own meeting following a county commission meeting. So she actually met at least with three different groups, and I suppose she met with the coalition group as well. So at that point, she did seem like she was really trying to get to the gist of the conflict mm-hmm. that we had mm-hmm. with the monument designation.
Okay, so after apart from you guys working to organize when she came to Bluff for the public hearing, what kind of other things have you guys been doing to work against the monument?
Well, we weren't really organized then. We just went.
How'd you find out about it? Like,
well, the county commission had announced this meeting, mm-hmm. and it was through just news articles, you know, saying that this was going to be happening. So it was really after the Sally Jewell meeting that we organized, and a Facebook page was created, and from that, a private Facebook group grew from about 10 people to 2,500 people. There is really no even orchestration of how, as a designated leader, to tell you the truth, mm-hmm. but everyone just volunteered the things that they could do, and we started writing and calling and doing whatever we could to present our point of view, because it was not being presented well at all.
Okay, and so what have some of those things looked like, presenting your point of view? How have you done that?
Well, mainly articles to newspapers, editorials to newspapers. We have no monument stickers that are on vehicles all over the county and throughout the state of Utah, actually. So those are some of the things we did. We helped the local Blue Mountain Dene chapter, and we did do this before her meeting, put together a float, which was in the 4th of July parade, the 24th of July parade. The Navajo Nation, they have a series of fairs throughout the summer, and we helped them with that. So there's that kind of public kind of presentation that of an opposing view.
Okay. So if Obama declares this monument, what will your reaction be?
Well, I'll be crying a lot. You know, we're still pretty actively fighting it. So as far as a contingency plan, you know, we will be very concerned about that. We will hope that through the new administration, that they'll look at some of the issues that we have with what's been happening to public lands in the state of Utah, for instance. In our county, which is 98% public, either through reservations or existing, we already have 6 parks and monuments in San Juan County, and plus Forest Service land, plus BLM land. We only have 8% of our county is privately owned, and there's a big disparity between a state or a county who does not have private land and access to it than states that have the bulk of their land privately. So this disparity and discrimination is one of the issues we're going to look at. You know, hopefully the administration will look at rectifying some of those issues, the new administration. Because I don't think that's been addressed very well at all. And then even within this existing 1.9 million acres, there are scattered pockets of, there's 151,000 acres of state trust land, which would be tied up, and which is really the real purpose, I think, why they're trying to get a monument instead of leaving it with the BLM. The BLM has allowed multiple use of acreage, and this is state trust land. It's not, you know, so there's these little pockets of state and private land scattered throughout the monument, and that's one of the big issues we're really concerned about. And we think it's illegal to designate a monument that wraps its arms around these resources we have. It also includes over 600 water right infrastructures, and that's where our water comes from for 3 communities, and that's located within this Bears Ears monument that they want. There's just too many issues that have not been well thought out in what they're proposing. So, yeah, we'll fight it.
So the Salt Lake Tribune just came out with an article talking about how there's sort of rumors that Obama may be thinking about declaring a smaller size monument. I think it was 1.4 instead of 1.9 million acres. Would that change anything for you?
I think it would change a lot because, you know, originally our county had been working on a public lands initiative with conservatives, with environmentalists, with Native tribal people, and we came up with a county POI. And I think everyone felt pretty good about it. And at that point in time, it was focused on Cedar Mesa, which is this smaller area, which is full of ruins and full of things that definitely need to be better protected, though part of it is actually wilderness right now. It does have a fair amount of protection. And so that area wouldn't have been so hard to take. But when they expanded this to include the mountain area, which is prime hunting, camping, grazing, water rights, and all of that was the limit, you know. We had to draw a line in the sand, so to speak. So definitely, if it's pulled back into the smaller size, and if it went with the Cedar Mesa designation, which the Conservation Land Foundation was promoting in 2014, we have copies of their minutes and that meeting, and that's what they were calling it in 2014, you know, that would have been, you know, something we could live with, I think. So, yeah, I think it's just this encroachment and this expansion that was, you know, that was another thing that just has irritated the heck out of local people. Now, I'm not a local politician or anything, but I have a pretty good sense of what's said and what people are concerned about.
Yeah.
And when it affects our water, when it affects livelihood of grazing rights, it affects ute land allotments. And, you know, they just did not tell the whole truth when they went for this bigger area. And that's why one of the reasons why the Ute tribe out at White Mesa has been so opposed to it. They have been very, very proactive in this. In fact, at the last election, they voted out 3 of the tribal coalition that was supposed to be pro-monument. They voted them out of office. That's how upset they have been about it. And those same kinds of things, you know, those same kinds of issues affect the Navajo people in our county. So it's been created a real resentment, I would say, when out of county, out of state, Native people come in and say, we want to tell you how you better handle your land, and we're going to manage it for you.
Sure.
You know, and so that affected not only Anglos and Hispanics, but also how the Ute and the Navajo people felt within the county.
Hmm. Yeah, that actually leads to my last question here. It sounds like a lot of what you're saying is that monument designation should be driven by locals.
Absolutely.
So what makes you say that?
Well, you know, we're the ones most directly affected by it. And, of course, the opposition says, well, don't worry. This is going to become a great tourist destination, and you'll have an increase in tourism. You'll have expansion of businesses. But the fact of the matter is we still only have 8% of our county that's even private land that we can build on. And because we're in a drought area, we only get 9 inches of rain on the average per year. We cannot sustain large tourist attractions or motels or places that they like to spend their money, you know. And we also feel like a tourist destination, and they always promote monuments. They always promote national parks. It creates an environment that does not sustain families. It's tourist-driven businesses do not have a viable economic benefit. In fact, I was just looking at some stats just last night, and Grand County, which is one of the big destinations because of arches, because of tourism, they have a lower medium income average than our county, and yet they look like they're prospering because all of these people are coming in. That's not the economy that, you know, is stable, and it's not something that really attracts us, thinking that, yeah, yay, hooray, we're going to have tourists come to our county. We can't sustain that. We don't have the water to do it, you know. So I don't know how much water you get in Cortez, but you're kind of in a drought area too some years. So
yeah, I mean, it's definitely a desert, and those are really interesting things you're bringing up, because it shows kind of how complicated this whole issue is. You know, it's not just a two-sided thing.
No, there's just a lot. I just don't think it was well thought out. You know, it was kind of a top-down decision promoted by the Conservation Land Foundation out of Durango, and they're just looking at land. They're not looking at how the land is and how we've managed to survive over 150, 30 years, whatever. And we know that those original people that were in this area left for some very good reasons, and maybe it was a long-term drought. We, you know, there's no real indication of why it happened, but we have got to protect water, you know, that, and to do it with saying you're going to have all these businesses come in because of tourism. That's just not doable in an area like this.
Super interesting. Janet Wilcox, I really appreciate your time talking with us.
Okay, I'm glad to do it. There's probably tons more that could be said.
There's so much more to say. Yeah, that's the thing, is there's a lot more to say, but we have a little bit limited time here. But we'll definitely follow up as things kind of keep developing. Does that work?
Okay, that'd be great. And I'll send you a couple of links with some of these, you know, statistical kinds of things. So, you know, you can, if you're going to do a written article, you have more opportunity to use additional information that you can verify. So.
Okay, perfect.
Anyway, I hope that helps you.
It does help very much. Thank you very much, Janet. Appreciate it.
You bet.
Cool.
Bye.
Bye.